So yesterday was a not a good day at the stadium. Not a good day at Huntington Bank Field. I mean, there's no way around it. No matter what you thought of Deshaun Watson before, there was a gaggle. There are people who disagree with me. They act as if there was 66,000 people. I don't care what any of you say. To my dying day, I'll take it. I think it was a very loud, very small minority of people who were cheering. I think that once, by the way, they saw how severe the injury actually was, I think that that changed. Tom Withers has documented that, who was there from the Associated Press. I was in the stands. I was at that game. And I'm, guys, 16 out of 17 games for the Browns, I go to my office and I watch at home. That was the game I was in the stands with. My buddy Jason was in town. I've known Jason since I was 5 years old. I sat with Jason. I sat with his friends, which was weird because they were like, some of them were from his work and they were Bengals fans. Yeah, you didn't see Jerry Jeudy throw his helmet yesterday?
I did not see that.
Yeah, Jerry was a very upset person yesterday. So I was sitting there. It was weird because I was with a gaggle of second time I've used that word. I was with a group of Browns and Bengals fans. So usually I'm with a group of like-minded individuals, and there's a lot of people who are just very upset. It was very odd that a person two seats next to me was whooping it up every time the Bengals did something. Which I'm like, I got to accept this. I'm not going to be nasty and inhospitable here. I know what I saw, and that has definitely taken away anything that happened on the field, to the point where Daryl believes that it may have been a choreographed thing for them after that game to go after the fans for the Deshaun Watson reaction. I do think that some of them may have conflated the pregame where, yep, there were definitely boos. And Myles Garrett, what Myles said in the postgame, you know, Myles himself said a month ago that you're a paying customer, you're allowed to boo. I don't think anybody who's sane, I think I'm a sane person for the most part. I mean, yeah, there's definitely screws loose there. But I would not condone cheering a guy getting hurt. And you and I have had that conversation before on this show. I have not condoned that. If you want to boo, that to me is, you're not throwing anything, you're not cussing. I don't think it does any good. I never said it does any good. I think it's therapeutic. You want to boo, boo. But when a guy gets hurt, there were some people, yes, there were definitely people cheering. I gave you the eyes on what I saw of the guy who was cheering. And that guy didn't stop cheering, and there were a lot of people telling him to shut up when he was cheering. But by the time the cart came out, I think a lot of people's tenor had changed. Now, all of that, where it's not put to rest, because we'll continue to dredge this up, and I'm sure we'll get to it, because, damn it, Greg Newsom, who was talking tough, I'm sure he's going to get burned, and there's going to be some people going, how dare you tell me how to be a fan when you can't do your job? I'm sure the other guys who said that, they're going to be, it's going to be brought up. And Rodney was one of the people who agreed with the players, and Rodney's going to be in here in studio at this time tomorrow. And we're going to have to talk it out, and it might get a little bit odd. So all that put out there, it does distract from, you call a reverse pass on second down. All right, I understand that. You'd run a draw on third and five? Were they around the 30? I mean, it wasn't necessarily high red, but it was getting close. You're getting close
Did
to going in.
Did they need 3 yards, too? Was it 2 or 3 yards they needed on that play?
So, you got your quarterback there. He's completing short downs. He's completing short throws. You couldn't put the ball in his hands. You had to run that draw. The pre-snap penalty, like Nick Chubb got into the end zone. After the injury, Nick Chubb gets into the end zone. The place erupts. We have a pre-snap penalty because we can't get guys on the line of scrimmage correctly? Professional football players?
It felt like every time they gained any kind of yards, it was illegal formation, illegal motion. We had a guy yesterday called for offsides on offense.
I'm talking about with Michael Dunn.
When the official said offsides, the fans got excited.
Because you're lined up too far.
You don't see offsides called on offense.
No, you see that in middle school football is where you see that. Guys, everybody knows, man, I like Kevin. If you know this show, you know we get along with Kevin and we like the guy personally. I can't defend that. That's silly. It's dumb. It's not practiced well. It's not plotted out well. And I can give you every excuse in the world. Oh, Michael Dunn in an everyday starter and all this. No, there's no excuse for that. They're professional football players there. I got a backup quarterback who didn't know he was a backup until Friday and running a quote-unquote package of plays that he may or may not even have known that he was going to run. Where are we doing? Why is everything a magic trick that has to have a prestige to it to Dorian Thompson-Robinson every time we put him out there? Why is everything like that? Now, I can like a guy personally and say, it was a bad day at the office, and holy hell, was it a bad day at the office. They look listless on offense, even with Deshaun Watson in the game. They look listless on offense. They looked unplanned, unprepared, not ready to play this football game, and a game that they usually do well. Because if you look at what Joe Burrow did yesterday, he still wasn't that good.
He was confused.
It was a house of horrors for him in there, and you let him off the hook in the words of Dennis Green. That's exactly what you did. This is a massive distraction, and we should talk about it, but damn it, it has to be said. Yesterday was as poorly coached and poorly planned as I've ever seen in 4 years and now 7 games with Kevin Stefanski.
I think 29 or so other teams would have beaten the Bengals yesterday. Like, they were not there to win. The Bengals looked terrible. The Bengals were horrible. Credit to Jim Schwartz. I don't want to say it was all about, you know, one thing or another. I do think our defense... I thought they played, for the most part, really well. You can't shut teams out. It's just not going to happen. And again, our offense, you're going to have to do more than dink and dunk in this day and age of the NFL to try to win. It's why Pittsburgh changed their quarterback out, by the way. And it's not like Russell Wilson is some guy that's going for it all on every possession. But my God, these teams are telling you with their quarterback decisions now that you have to be able to extend the field. You have to go downfield. And Watson was not willing to do it. It's why he had great numbers and had no points. It's why they couldn't get touchdowns.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. Jimmy and the ownership group, they don't want to make changes. They've been through the quick changes before. But if this continues, you're going to have to look at this and say, what are we doing for the future of the franchise? Cuz I told you, with the injury, there is a minor blessing for him in the case of, you've taken all the pressure off Deshaun Watson now. These are 2 years in a row of, I imagine he's out for the end of the year. I can't imagine he's not. This is 2 years in a row of season-ending injuries. So now physically, you don't know if he can do it. When it comes to emotionally, I don't know if he can do it now. I mean, you saw what he was, and now you have a point where, hey, I can keep him on the roster. I'll draft a quarterback either number one or high in the draft, because that's what they'll do, because they're obsessed with finding quarterbacks, and he will look for a quarterback. Jimmy Haslam will, until the end of time, they will look for a quarterback. They're obsessed with him in the league, and he knows what it can do for his football team. So they'll go out and they'll draft another guy, and we'll sink or swim with that guy. But that's a case where now you can put him on the sideline, and everybody is going to be looking at him. Everybody is going to be looking at him and having terrible feelings for him. They're going to be looking at whatever number Cam Ward wears, whatever number so-and-so wears. That's what they're going to be looking at. So you can put him on the sideline and go, okay, now we can relax you a little bit and see where we can go from here. Or it's just over. Because before, I didn't think you could bring him back out there. But that's another conversation. You need to look, as time goes on, is this the right leadership? Is this the right organization? Are we structurally sound? And that has to go to the man who lives in San Diego, who was in here yesterday, in town yesterday, to Andrew, to Kevin, to everybody. This becomes an entire office evaluation. And if you believe that you don't want to make changes, fine. Yeah, I don't advocate for guys to get fired, because you're admitting you failed at something. People get excited about firings. You have failed, and you have wasted time if you have to fire somebody. So I don't advocate for that. But yesterday, I can't defend that, and I won't defend that. That was poor.
They have 10 more games?
Yes.
They have 10 more games. In our history of
this... No, they're 1-6. They got 11.
They got 11. Okay, enough. My God. There's so many games left. In the history of us doing this...
Don't let the time do you. You do the time.
That's right. All the years that we've been hosting, and not just us hosting, but just being in town and seeing how this works, it never gets better. It only gets worse. And... as much as I'd love to sit here and talk about the great things I think Stefanski has done, as much as I'd like to talk about some of the really good things that Andrew Berry has done, it's going to be hard for them to save their jobs, because this is only going to get worse. The players are already frustrated. Jerry Jeudy throwing his helmet. Elijah Moore suspended for a half. Okay, this stuff is going to snowball. There's no other way for it to go.
And that's why they want to take a, I know they want to take a look at Dorian Thompson-Robinson. You're going to need Jameis Winston in there. He is the veteran. He is a guy that gets people excited. He is a captivating speaker. There's no doubt about it. If you want to keep these guys, I mean, unless you want Jerry Jeudy to completely lose his mind.
Wait, is the organization going to dictate, though, who should play?
I don't have anything against Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Deshaun Watson would have been benched on any other team in the NFL.
Okay. You're right about that. I don't have anything against DTR, but at the same time, I know they want to see something, and I don't think that he's shown anything that tells me that he's going to be a future franchise quarterback here. So the only thing that you're going to do now, unless you just don't care about the other veterans, guys who you've traded for, by the way, unless you don't care about the other veterans there, then you'll do what's necessary to get you to April. That's what you'll do. But if you want to keep some of these guys and keep their emotions with you, you're going to have to play Jameis Winston. You're going to have to take the vet. You're going to have to bring in the veteran that people take seriously, and try that first before you go to Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I believe you should play Jameis Winston because you owe it to your veterans. This is not a young 0-16 football team anymore, where most of these guys should just be thankful they're playing in the NFL in an NFL jersey. There are still at 1-6, which is crazy to say, there are still viable NFL veterans on that team that deserve better. And if you're making a decision to do right by your players, Jameis Winston is starting against the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday. If you are interested in getting ready for the offseason, then DTR will start on Sunday, and you'll do everything you can to get DTR prepared. But you are also getting ready to warm up the phones on all these other veterans out there. So it's your choice. I mean, we are, without a doubt, we are at a crossroads here in this season. And they need to make that decision. 216-474-0092. I want to get to some people on this. Where exactly do we go? Because if I just can't believe that we're so taken aback by... I know what happened in the stands there, but my God, it was just so poorly coached yesterday.